Ben's gonna be there. Reggie's gonna be there too. Betty's gonna be there. Veronica's gonna be there. You and me will be there too.
I'm Elena.
I'm Grant.
And this is Sex Archie.
So take the photographs and still frames in your mind. There was a lot of crying.
There was a little bit of crying. It was a lot of crying, okay? I was controlling myself. It was just a little bit of crying.
Can you tell me what you have off to your right on the desk here?
I have a beverage.
You described it as an emotional support cocktail a second ago.
Yes.
That's right. We are here to talk about chapter 137, Goodbye Riverdale, written and directed by Roberto Aguirre Sacasa, our benefactor, our rival, occasionally our good-hearted chummy enemy.
That's really the only way to describe it. Only way.
When we treat him as the enemy of our show, we never mean it. But it's fun to talk that way sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, sometimes it does feel like he has a personal vendetta against us.
But yes, this is the final episode of Riverdale and the penultimate episode of Sex Archie. More on that later.
It took us a while to get here.
It took us a while.
We had, everything had to be right. Everything had to be aligned.
There were several days where we had like the hours blocked out, but we just looked inside ourselves and said, I'm not ready.
I'm not ready.
I can't handle it.
I'm not in the right headspace. I don't feel like I'm going to give it my full attention.
And today we looked at each other and said, it has to be now. It has to be now.
Because if we don't do this, this is going to turn into History Honeys, where we just never finished the show. I'm so sorry to anyone who ever listened to History Honeys. We just ghosted your asses, and I apologize.
For what it's worth, it was worth all the while.
It was not planned. If that is any guns. Like, any help. We did not plan it. It just happened. So here we are. I feel like you have to also, like, insert some, I don't know, some, like, vitamin C in here at some point.
Except they don't graduate.
They talk a lot about it.
They talk about graduation. In fact, I was proven far more right than I could have expected. Because this episode is set 67 years later.
Okay, I don't know about you. So this episode does open with Jughead narrating, and it straight up just says 67 years have gone by. And I want to know, in that moment, what did you think was happening in this fucking episode?
I mean, there's only one thing it could be, which is what it is: a stroll down memory lane. You go that far forward to walk back.
Did you immediately go to, oh my god, they've put everyone in old age makeup?
I'm so glad they didn't. I do not want to see Lily Reinhart under 3 inches of foam rubber.
Well, let's continue with what we do know. We
yes.
can talk more about that later.
Yeah, yeah.
So Jughead lets us know, again, it's the present day.
It's always the present day, asshole.
But like 2017 to present day.
Yeah, yeah.
The teenagers have gotten married. They've become adults. They've died. They're saying goodbye to a town once lost in time.
But also goodbye to the people who once lived in that town. Really bookending the episode one narration. The people, the town, and the people that live in that town.
Yeah.
You gotta echo your structures.
And so we go to old Betty Cooper.
Yes.
Who is not Lily Reinhart.
No.
They cast an old lady.
They cast...
Who's not really that old. She didn't look that old. She did not look old enough, I think, for the being 80-whatever years old.
They cast Michelle Scarabelli, who most recently would be known as Martha Kent in that new Superman show, Superman and Lois.
Ah.
Also in the Berlanti family of television programs. And related to us and our future endeavors, she played Susan Francisco across the Alien Nation franchise.
Ah.
Here's a picture of Susan Francisco with her husband.
Okay.
She's an alien in The Nation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. And so old Elizabeth Cooper is sitting in bed, definitely acting like she's gonna die. Very like, oh, I'm old, so I'm in my bed with a bajillion pillows.
It's a little Grandma Josephine without Grandpa Joe.
Yeah.
Or the other two for that matter.
And she apparently checks the obituaries every day. As her granddaughter, Alice.
Her granddaughter, Alice.
Sits by her bedside, and she talks about her dementia.
Mm-hmm.
Her Alzheimer's, basically.
And how she is now, reading the obituary, the last surviving member of the cast of Riverdale.
Jughead Jones has died.
Jughead's dead again. He's Jug dead.
He's Jug dead. And he is on the front page. His obituary made the front page. So, like, my boy did good in life.
Because he spent decades as the editor-in-chief of a Madhouse magazine.
Yeah.
They fused Mad Magazine from their EC Comics pastiche.
Yeah.
With Archie's Madhouse, the Archie book that had all the spooky, weird stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, glad this has happened, because we were saying in the last episode, yo, why are we closing the comic book?
Yeah.
Like, just shift your operation. This is the perfect avenue. Well, Jughead listened.
Yeah, he took the step that the character Mr. Fieldstone wouldn't, but the historical Mr. Feldstein did.
Yes.
Yes.
She is talking to granddaughter Alice about, yes, she, you know, knew him back in the day, and that she wants to go back to Riverdale before it's too late, before she forgets everything, and basically before she dies.
Yes.
And her granddaughter's like, okay, well, let's see how you feel tomorrow, and we can take a drive. And in this moment, I absolutely thought she was going to die overnight. I was like, she's not making it till tomorrow. Nope. She ain't seeing Riverdale again.
You gave me this lady just to watch her die.
Yes.
This is the sacrificial old lady.
I absolutely thought she was dying that night. So she falls asleep with her Riverdale yearbook on her chest and wakes up.
With the baby nightlight.
Yes, the baby nightlight is there.
The baby nightlight is back. That's a deep cut.
That is a deep cut. I totally was like, oh. So she wakes up and Jughead is in the chair.
Dressed in Satan colors. He's evil Jughead.
He's wearing red.
He's wearing blood red.
He's not wearing blood red.
He's wearing blood red.
It is not vibrant blood red. That's like a bright maroon red.
Sure, sure, fine.
He is dressed in like modern day Jughead wear, though. Mm-hmm. It's not like...
Well, it is the present day.
Yes, but I mean like...
As it tends to be.
It is present day Jughead, not because that's not possible. So it's like a... ghost of Jughead's around.
He's a psychopomp. He's Jughead the psychopomp.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, you got the plaid, you got the S shirt, you got the traditional Jughead hat. It's all there. She is not really startled by this at all. She's like, ah, yes, Jughead, I fell asleep. You're here. It's like, you know, I've been trying to remember everything, and I wish I could go back. And he's like, well, you can. Just pick a day, we'll walk through that door, and you'll be back.
And she knows exactly the day she wants to go back to. She wants to go back to senior year. Now, I will remind us all that season 6 is set in the junior year of the 1950s timeline. So this is a time skip in two directions, or two distances, I suppose, at the same time.
Yes. So she wants to go back to... senior year, the day they all got their yearbooks, because she had the mumps and had to stay home.
The tragedy of the mumps.
She couldn't go around and get her yearbook signed, and she was always sad about this, having that, not being able to have that last day together with everyone.
This is why you vaccinate your kids. They're going to be really sad old ladies.
So he's like, okay, cool, we can do that. You just got to walk through this door. So she does.
Yes.
And we get absolutely no explanation on mysterious drug head.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say no explanation on how she can walk.
Also that, I'm like, wow, if we are this, like, grandma gonna die.
That's what did it. That it really took it out of her.
For some of this episode, I did think she was, like, dead.
Mm-hmm.
I did think this was, like... She is dying, and Angel Jughead has come to take her down a memory lane walk, and then at the end of this episode, it's gonna be like, okay, Betty, let's go into the light.
Mm-hmm. Close, but not quite.
It's not it. It is not. This is just a fun time. She does not end up dead at the end of this specific adventure. And we will get there. So
she goes through the door, and who comes out but Lily Reinhart as Betty Cooper.
Yes. Back, you know, 50s Betty. Mm-hmm. In her room, and she's taking it all in.
It's all just how she remembers it. And sort of remembers it.
And Jughead is there, too, taking it all in. She stops and looks at herself in the mirror and is like, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I was a hottie. Dang, look at my perky boobs.
She is living the impossible dream of actually achieving your nostalgia. The yearning, the insatiable yearning is satiated.
Mm-hmm. Throughout this episode, we get a lot of where she's commenting on things and talking to the Jughead that no one else will be able to see.
Yes.
And commenting on... like in this moment, like, wow, like there were so many things I wanted to change about myself back then. Why? I was perfect. We were all perfect. We were crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, she has a moment where she goes to her window and she looks out and she sees Archie. She's like, oh my God, Archie got hot, except like he always was.
Mm-hmm. And the two facts we know going into the past again are very important for guiding Betty. Number one, she needs to get that yearbook signed.
Mm-hmm.
So she has like a quest that will bring her from person to person to person. And number two, her dementia, her mental degradation in advanced age means that she has to ask about things she ought to already know. For the benefit of us, the audience, who can't already know them.
Yes.
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 Roberto thought of everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm like, that's a tricky little thing there, Roberto.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy. Just give her Alzheimer's and got a reminder of everything.
Yes.
So when she sees Archie, Jughead's like, oh, yeah, he's about to have the big talk with his mom about, like, what he's going to do after graduation. And so we switch over to him in that moment.
What happened to the Merchant Marine? Does he not know how to swim? Did he figure out that's a big part of it?
He wasn't so sure about being on a boat with Kevin and Clay all
Well, they the time. Also don't go on the boat.
No, they don't. Everyone changes their plans about the Merchant Marines. Maybe it's because they realized, wow, this is really close to, like, the military.
Yeah. So he's looking at this construction pamphlet that he stows away real quick because his new plan is to build the interstate and dam America to driver-centric hell.
But not like, it's not like his plan to create it. He's not taking credit for it. No. He just wants to go.
There's a lot of new jobs that President Ike is laying out there, and he wants one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mary comes in, and it's like, oh, breakfast is almost ready. And he's like, Mom, I gotta tell Vic. Am I going? Mm-hmm. Am I going to be on the crew? And she's like, oh, Archie, like, you do this, you're never coming back. And he's like, no, I'm coming back. She's like, you're going to see the Pacific Ocean and I'm never going to see you again.
She treats him like a Tolkien elf. If you see the sea, it will cause a change in your soul and you shall sail away to the undying lands.
I mean, quite honestly, if I suddenly had the option to live along like the ocean, mm-hmm. I probably just would.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I had the option to suddenly just live along a giant-ass body of water that I can't see across,
mm-hmm.
I will do it. So someone can just offer me a house on Lake Superior. Yes, that is fine.
That would be great. That'd be
cool. I will take it. I will live in the UP as long as it's on the water.
Yes.
I will live where there's hurricanes as long as I'm on the water.
I don't know about that. I don't like hurricanes. I don't want to deal with that.
It'd be adventurous.
So, so they have their little moment together. She knows that she can't keep Archie down on the farm. Number one, they don't have one.
Mm-hmm.
It's
not Duck Creek after all.
And so we get the first of what this episode is really about. Betty asking Jughead for every character's epilogue.
Yeah.
Yes.
But before we get to that, Mary does, like, give him her blessing of, mm-hmm, you know, your mm-hmm. father always wanted to live out west. I guess you get to do that now. Like, if you choose to do that, you have my blessing. It's fine.
And I understand taking Archie to, like, his season 1 through 3 roots. Even up to 5, right, being on a construction crew.
Yeah.
That's central to Riverdale Archie Andrews. And also tying him to this, like, monument of Americana, the interstate highway system,
yeah,
also really works.
If this was set earlier, he would have been off, like, earlier, you know, in the century.
Yeah.
He would have been off planting trees.
Yeah, yeah.
Throughout, like,
he would have been Johnny Mapleseed.
No, not that far. I'm thinking, like, all the, like, Depression era, like, tree
planting. He would have been in the CCC.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, we get to Betty asking Jughead, like, hey, what happened to Mary? I don't remember.
Well, for one, she bought the dress shop she worked at.
Which I never knew she didn't own it.
I really thought she was the proprietor of this dress shop before, but she becomes such.
Yeah.
And then one day, this nice lady called Brooke comes shopping.
Yeah. Sound familiar?
And they move in together as besties. History will remember them.
They live together their whole life.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
If this sounds familiar, this is Brooke Rivers. They brought back the same actor, the Naval Academy recruiter from season 4 that Mary wound up dating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They are soulmates. They end up together everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Angel Tabitha.
Yeah. This is all interrupted because Betty hears voices downstairs. So she rushes down and there is Alice and Polly.
Mm-hmm.
Alice has since left Hal.
And she's in her new work uniform.
She is a stewardess.
She's got her wings.
And Polly Pregos.
Polly's very pregnant. Things have been patched up, obviously. They're talking about throwing a shower.
Mm-hmm. They're very happy, very bubbly. Happy.
She's got her girls. She's got her dream. She flies out of the Riverdale airport.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Archie helped pour the slab on that one? Because that seems new.
Definitely.
That seems
definitely
real new.
It's brand new. They're too far from New York.
Are they?
Or maybe they're so close that New York opened another airport.
Yeah.
I don't know which of these options is the case.
Yeah, we got JFK, we got LaGuardia, we got Newark. It's not technically, but, you know, we've got Newark and we got Riverdale.
Yeah. We got the Riverdale, Greendale, Midvale airport.
Yes.
Smack dab in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. On the river.
It's 5 hours from everywhere somehow.
Somehow.
So she is overwhelmed to see her mother, to have her memory jogged of, like, how impactful she was in improving her mother's life. That big last argument they had a few weeks ago.
Yeah. You know, she's really, like, taking her in and trying to, like, not have her mom rush away,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
embracing her and Polly. And Alice is just like, but you're supposed to have the mumps. Like, if you're feeling better, you need to get to school.
Yeah. She's still a mom, Betty.
So Betty gives her hugs and rushes off to school. Has to, of course, check in with Jughead of, like, so my mom became a stewardess? Like, this is great. And Jughead's like, well, she had a streak of that, but then the pilot had a steak and 3 martinis and a heart attack.
So
she had to land the plane.
She landed the plane, saved the day. And one of the passengers on this flight from Riverdale to Poughkeepsie, a real power player, you know, that's where you find him, thanks her by taking her to dinner.
For saving his life.
And he winds up being a sugar daddy who does the dishes.
They get married. He takes her traveling the world.
The absolute ideal man.
Holly has her twins, Juniper and Dagwood.
Yeah. They also fly in their own way.
Never going to address that. She never goes back to performing, but she has a happy life with her family.
She's probably pretty busy now.
Yeah.
And I hope her stockbroker husband makes it big.
So it is time to go back to school one more time. And they're standing outside the school. And Veronica comes up to her like, wait, you're not supposed to be here. You have the mumps. And Betty's immediately like, let me hug you. And I'm sure Veronica's thinking, but you the have mumps!
The mumps!
She's just like, yo, this is the too wonderful for words, like giving all this praise. And Veronica's like, man, you should get the mumps more often.
It's fun. It's a good little, it's not the final, because there's a few more in this episode. But like, if this was the last bestie moment between the two of them, I'd feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's something that this episode could have been, but isn't, which is just like, living their life, having their victories, and just living in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that. It's this weird flash forward back thing.
Yes.
But there's a little bit of it in there.
So they are in the school, and Betty's very like, oh, this could be the last time we walk through these halls together.
Mm-hmm.
And Veronica's like, we haven't even graduated yet. Like, almost. I guess it's the last day of school, but also, like, you're going to be back in, like, 2 days to graduate.
And she gets a little explanation of what the heck this is from Psychopomp Jughead.
Yeah.
He describes it as something between real and a dream, which is why the color saturation is turned way up. And she can say weird shit about the future and no one notices or cares.
Yeah. She can also, like, talk to him.
Yeah.
And, like, no one notices. So, over the school mic, Tony comes on to remind everyone to get their yearbooks and then to share one final poem with them.
She reads Dreams by Langston Hughes, a brief excerpt from it as an image of the text from a typewriter is superimposed over her face sliding around. And
also Betty's, who's like walking through the halls.
Also the best poem award in the trophy case that Archie won. I have to assume the jury hates black people because I would take Clay's poetry over Archie's any day.
Yes. So she finishes the poem and leaves them with the remarks of, you know, like, we dreamed for a better school for ourselves and we made it happen.
Mm-hmm.
As she glances over at Weatherby, who looks on at her very proud.
Very proud, yes. Because Weatherby's been president for like a year and a quarter.
President? Principal?
That's the one.
Yeah.
He got elected president. Really fixed racism. They went for it.
President of the world. Not just the country, the world. When they're like, take me to your leader, it's Weatherby.
Eisenhower lost his re-election bid to Waldo Weatherby.
Eisenhower now just works for the Department of Transportation.
Yeah.
So Betty finds herself in the blue and gold.
And Weatherby took the muzzle off the paper in his tenure, and it has become a voice of the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
They're reporting on the Alabama bus boycott, everything.
Rosa Parks, everything. And she's very, you know, Tony always made sure we were, like, connected to everything, and we were paying attention. And Jughead goes to say, like, yeah, and that would continue until, and she's like, don't tell me! I'm not ready! Not ready!
Zip it.
So she goes to pick up her yearbook at the table that Cheryl's working, and Cheryl says, ew, barf, what are you doing here?
I don't want your bumpy cooties.
Your mumpy cooties.
Okay.
Your mumpy cooties. I can't say it. Mumpy.
You're just obsessed with the tiny oranges. You love a clementine.
I don't want your mumpy cooties.
There we go.
Not going to be the line at the end of this episode. There's no fucking way I can say that again. And she's like, oh, that was a false alarm. It's fine.
I misunderstood that Cheryl was working in an official capacity on the yearbook committee, signing out people's yearbooks. I thought this was a long line for people to get Cheryl's signature because she's so popular.
I actually thought that. But then she refused Betty, who's like, I want your signature.
Well, she cut in line.
Because Betty's like, can you sign my yearbook? And she's like, no, not right now. I'm busy.
Because you got to get in the back of the line. There's a process.
No, because she's handing out the yearbooks right now.
I like mine better.
She just set up a table, like, come, yes. I will give signatures.
And they did.
$10.
They would pay.
Cheryl in the future would do that
shit. She's Cheryl Bombshell. That's worth something.
Cheryl in the future, yes. Cheryl in the past, no. If we were talking 2017 Cheryl, that would totally be a thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's why it's my favorite Cheryl. I like the Cheryl that commits arson and covers herself in pig blood.
So, yeah, so she gets turned down on a signature right now, and Betty's like, but what if we don't see each other again? She's like, you're coming to my art gallery and after party tonight. What are you talking about?
We have to use all the sets, not the sex hole.
They used that a lot last time.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Betty does get Fangs to sign her book.
Mm-hmm.
And Midge!
And Midge, she's out. Because, you know, the baby got born.
The baby got born. Fangs also had a hit single in the charts.
Top 10 hit. He's like, well, only number 8. That's the top 10, Fangs. You hold your head high.
And Midge explains that, you know, this really let her parents take a different tune with them getting married.
Tony's insane sitcom plan worked.
Yeah. Fangs can't stick around, though. He has to go to rehearsal because... he is heading out on tour soon.
A 6-week national tour, along with a bunch of other, like, honky-tonk rock and rollers.
But with that, as they leave, Betty turns to Jughead and is like, it didn't work out, right? And he's like, no, after 4 weeks, their tire blew in the Rocky Mountains and no one survived. They fucking went off a mountain.
They had the opportunity to make it a Buddy Holly plane crash. They did not put Fangs Fogarty in The Day the Music Died.
No.
They put him on a bus. Because that's respectful, I guess.
He was the first one to pass away.
I should hope so. It's a month from now.
And Midge and the baby were taken care of because of his hit record.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And lived a good life.
And the gold record from the RIAA sits there on the wall of the music room, reflecting a warm light down on so many illicit affairs for generations to come. If they're going to wrap up everything, I gotta play the hits. I gotta bring it back.
So Kevin comes in and he's like, hey, Betty, it's a beautiful day. You want to join me and Kevin or Clay for lunch? And she's like, yeah. I'll go. Mm-hmm. And so they're out there and they're signing yearbooks and she gets updated on what Kevin and Clay are planning to do after school.
I love the line, Clay, I feel as if I barely got to know you because you are only in one of my high school lives.
Yes.
In this episode, everyone speaks very freely about Angel Tabitha and having two entire lifetimes of memories.
Which is confusing because like, at the end of the last, thought only a couple of them kept...
Well, everyone kept the happy stuff, except...
That's true. Everyone ended up
Jughead
keeping...
and Betty, who took the whole double dose.
That is true. They did keep all the happy. I think for a while I was thinking they were, like, exposed to just the happy, but then some of them were going to forget again. I don't know.
Walking out of the magic theater, Kevin's like, I don't feel different. Does anyone else not feel different? I have no new memories.
Well, that explains why we don't see certain people later. No one remembers them. Okay, I guess that makes me feel better.
But about Kevin and Clay's plans, they are moving in together because they're both going to New York City schools, different programs. But
Clay's going to Columbia for literature. Kevin's going to NYU for musical theater writing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they told their parents, you know, it just makes sense to pitch in and be roommates. And their parents wink and say, fine.
And so Jughead chimes in that they lived a great life in Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
Clay became a professor. Kevin started an off-Broadway company.
This is over like a silent shot of them moving in, like carrying their last boxes up to this place.
Mm-hmm.
There's a giant, like giant marquee size poster of the unproduced Archie musical.
Oh, I missed that.
Why? Why did you make this? Maybe they performed it the following year.
Oh, because Weatherby.
Because Weatherby let him do an original show. Oh, Weatherby.
And that inspired him to actually go pursue musical theater finally.
Environmental storytelling. Yeah. This is what it's all about.
So they lived a great life together and passed away within a few weeks of each other.
I still do not believe Kevin was met with any professional success or maintained a relationship without self-sabotage. I do not believe it.
They were fine.
He just needed a Clay in his life. He just needed none of his boyfriends to be stabbed to death.
I think the Off-Broadway company might have just been the diner where, like, they sing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's fine.
It's fine.
Whatever made him happy.
So she snaps back to the present.
Yeah.
And Clay's like, hey, where are you going, Betty? What's up?
What have the four of you figured out?
Betty does not reply, oh, nothing. I was just thinking about you all dying.
And then she's like, wait, what do you mean the four of us? And he's like, oh, you don't need to keep up the ruse with us. Like, we know that you and Archie and Jughead and Veronica are all dating. You're a quad.
Is it really a quad if one of you just eats burgers in the other room the whole time? I don't know if that counts.
Jughead has his memories of Imagine Dragons. He's thrown a lot
literally
of
true. That is a plot point.
He's thrown,
we're about to come back to.
He's thrown a lot of people up on counters.
So that brings us to the second commercial break.
Well, and right before that, though, she's like, wait, what? And she looks over at the three of them who are standing across the parking lot, and they all wave, and she's like, oh.
And from now, the next 20, 25 minutes, you can tell that Betty is constantly in the back of her head remembering the hot teenage group sex she had.
But she loves a good orgy.
She's just... It's all coming back. All coming back to her now.
Foursomes. Foursomes are her favorite thing.
Those are the moments of gold and the flashes of light.
So Roberto was like, you know what? I'm not going to make Archie only end up with one of them. They are all going to end up with each other. And yes, that includes Jughead and Archie are going to smooch.
I don't know if this is a thumb to the nose or the perfect prestige of everyone spending 7 years like, oh no, my ship's endgame. Fuck you. They all are. Get off my back.
All of them.
All of them.
And also like, none of them, but all of them.
And this is the actual topic of discussion when we come back from commercial as Betty is catching up with Reggie.
Cheryl first. Betty is in the bathroom.
That's right.
And she's just
right.
like smiling. And Cheryl yes. like, why? Cheryl comes in and she's like, what are you so happy about, little Miss Mumps?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I was just remembering like where I was a year ago and you know, how far things have come. And Cheryl's like, well, yeah, we all read the Teenage Mystique. We know you've had a great year.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, well, I've just been really remembering what a fun year it is.
Mm-hmm.
All the sex
in my
brain.
Chica-chica.
So then we go to Reggie because she's yes. having Reggie sign her yearbook. And, you know, he's like, you know, thank you for helping me fix up Bella. You know, we could have had a great time going to Lover's Lane with Bella.
Well, I was so busy having dates with three other people simultaneously, sometimes in pairs, sometimes, you know.
Which it does have, she does say this because he's like, you know, if you didn't pick Archie, if you would have picked me. And she's like, well, I didn't pick Archie. After Angel Tabitha left, we just throw it out there.
Yeah.
She's like, I remembered what it was like to be with Jughead. And Archie remembered what it was like to be with Veronica. And everyone remembered what it was like to be with each other. And Jughead and Archie also remembered how much they just really wanted to, like, bang.
I was so right in our last episode about the effects of all of them watching themselves have a sex buffet.
Yeah.
It poisoned their minds. It twisted their lives.
So
it's working for them. I don't mean that in a negative way, but it violates the prime directive, is all I'm saying.
And so she's like, so the four of us decided to be together at the same time. And Reggie's like, for the past year?
Reggie is doing Archie's acting from the set, the stag film episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, yeah, well, it started as double dates and then just naturally evolved. And
into partner swapping.
Partner swapping. Sometimes we would go home to different people. We never get there, but I totally know that they all just, like, went home together, too.
Yeah.
Like, all four of them. We don't really get into that with Reggie, but we know.
Reggie is hung up on the natural question, quote, you guys never thought about bringing me into the mix?
She's like, well, you were so focused on basketball. And he's like, I would have made the time.
It would have thrown off our ratio. If you could have brought Midge, maybe. But, you know, the troubles of being a single mother.
She's like, I can do more than one thing at a time. It's fine.
And then he's like, what do you mean single mother? And she's like, oh, no, I spoke too soon. He hasn't died yet.
So Reggie is incredibly upset to be left out of this shit.
Yes.
I think it's very funny because it's very, like, throwback Reggie.
Yes.
It's not, like, Duck Creek Reggie that we've known.
He's grown into...
The more time he spends in Riverdale, the more Reggie he becomes.
Yeah, he's taken, like, he's on the path to becoming the like, anti-hero season 6 Reggie.
Yeah.
In his good moments when he was with Veronica doing cool crime shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They part ways, and she tells him, you know, you're destined for greatness, mm-hmm. and he makes a basket from, like, 2 feet away.
Impressive.
And so she turns to Jughead, and we find out that Reggie did turn professional, mm-hmm. and he was drafted to the Lakers, and he also worked at the farm in the off-season until his parents died, and then he had to sell it, and he started coaching at Riverdale High.
And his sons still live in town. They run Mantle Motors to this day.
Yes.
Aww. Mm-hmm.
Betty is over at Veronica's, and she's serving up the drinks.
Yes.
The absinthe. And she's like, oh, how's the drink? And like, oh, it's a little early for me, but it's good, because it's like 3 o'clock.
We all get up at 2 a.m. We got shit to do. In that earlier scene when they go into school, she's like, oh, we got 1,000 things to do.
Yeah,
it's Riverdale. I know.
We gotta go. I'm so tired. So Veronica breaks some news.
Yes.
Is that she is planning to move out to L.A. The conversations with Josie when she was in town really inspired her.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
she's called her good friend Peter Ross.
Peter Roth once again cameos as himself, yes. as his fictionalized time thrown self.
She's like, hey, bro, I've done the small town thing. I've done the owning a movie theater thing.
I want to start producing.
I want to do the producer and own a studio thing. It can't be that hard.
She gets set up as a producer in the same studio that originally sent her their schlocky monster movies.
Yes.
Back when she was having programming issues. And climb the ladder from there to eventually run her own studio and break into more legitimate pictures, more acclaimed stuff.
She would win 2 Oscars.
Right. And you don't do that making Scream of the Blob 7, which is the posters on her wall, you know?
So as Jughead's filling Betty in on all this, we transport to inside the Babylonium and then outside where Betty's at the concrete handprints of Veronica.
Mm-hmm. Why is she so upset about Veronica moving out west? She can visit her and her half-sister both together.
Yeah.
It's so convenient.
Apparently she doesn't, though, because she's like, man, I wish I would have kept in touch with her more.
Did you keep in touch with your half-sister?
Apparently not. And so Jughead's like, but that's what today is about. It's about remembering and getting one more chance at time with everyone.
I like Jughead's little moment inside the theater, sitting on the seats, just musing, a lot of kids made out here.
Yes. Well,
and he shows off all the bubble gum under the seat.
Well, and did you notice there was a crown
mm-hmm.
drawn in, and mm-hmm. there was also a was here?
Yep.
Yeah.
Jughead was here.
Uh-huh.
Now there's a... It's season 1 when they get rid of the... Or season 2 when they get rid of the drive-through.
Season one. Yeah? That's season one.
Yeah. It's when FP is his shittiest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like when we, like, what, the first time we see FP? Is when he's doing that?
I think it's this second time we see him, which is the first time we know that's his dad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still say, I'm just going to say, they should have done the drive-in.
They should have.
Because the drive-in was perfect for the 50s. Like, I don't understand why we never had a drive-in.
It just has to be something stupidly practical, like there was a drive-in that doesn't exist anymore to film at.
Right? Because otherwise, like, it doesn't make sense.
But I appreciate Veronica getting something like the Roger Corman story.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, conflating Roger Corman and the people who came up in the business working for him into one figure, and that figure is Veronica.
Yeah.
What is it like getting into producing during the collapse of the studio system? I have to imagine it takes a real hustler, you know?
Yeah.
Which is Veronica, you know?
I mean, a shift of how everyone did their careers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, it is now time mm-hmm. to go to Tony and Cheryl's art show.
At the Dark Room, naturally. Yes. It's called Beefcake Meets Cheesecake. I hate these paintings. I hate them so much. They look parodic, but they aren't funny. They just suck. I don't mean they're poorly rendered or blah, blah, blah. They're conceptually stupid art.
They're not at all, like, as over the top insane as
she should have given everyone personas.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. There's an introduction
mm-hmm.
To the paintings. There's also going to be a collected edition of the first 6 issues of Black Athena for sale.
Black Athena is now a literary magazine, which is very cool. I like their handsome bound softcover volume. It looks very cool.
And so they tell everyone to, you know, mingle, enjoy, buy a painting. I was like, who wants to buy
these? Who wants to buy these paintings? The paintings, the models in the paintings are, of course, all of our Riverdale teens.
Yeah. Archie, Veronica, Betty, Jughead.
Posed in lighthearted, erotic is too strong a word sort of poses. But yeah, Beefcake Meets Cheesecake is basically it's an apt title.
Jughead... fills Betty in that Cheryl had an incredible career as a painter.
With her next concept, I'm sure.
They stayed together and mm-hmm. they moved out west. Tony was very, very active
politically and in the arts. They were part of a sort of art commune and they adopted a son together. No.
Well, they said they had a son.
They had a son. That's right.
Named Dale, named after Riverdale.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like shit Archie'd do. and they passed peacefully after living a full, gorgeous, sexy life.
Which tends to be the case. That is the overwhelming majority of everyone we've met.
Except for Julian!
And as soon as I write that note, exception, exception, exception.
Because Julian... enlisted and served and died in Vietnam immediately after high school.
Yep. Yep. He must have been in one of the first waves.
He was under, like, 26 years old.
Right.
And Betty's like, well, what about Nana Rose? Well, she was reincarnated multiple times.
Did her later selves die in childhood? Where did she find the time to get several reincarnations?
Yes, they did. They died tragic deaths.
After your soul goes 400 years in one body, the next ones, they're just worn out. They're tired.
Oh, Weatherby and, what's her name?
Mrs. T.
Mrs. T, got married.
Mm-hmm.
Frank and Mr. Keller were murdered.
They were murdered?
By a drifter named Chick.
Of course they were. Of course they were.
And I love this because he says, well, they were murdered. And Betty's like, what? I would love her to be the first murderer of Riverdale.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In this new timeline, this is Riverdale's original sin, and not Percival Pickens, not settler colonialism, not that time a posse strung up a drifter who they thought was a murderer but wasn't. This is the real original
sin. But then they notice over on the other side of the room, Veronica is with Archie and Jughead. And things don't look well. And he's like, oh yeah, this is when she like tells them about LA. You should probably like go join that conversation and smooth it over.
You should probably be part of that, mumps girl. Yeah.
So she goes over and Jughead and Archie are not happy.
No.
But she tries to make it better. You know, they're very like, you know, this was... Senior year was incredible. It was fulfilling, not just physically, but, like, emotionally.
Seriously, that's a line. For at least half this episode, she's just thinking about all the wild teenage sex she had.
She is so excited to remember she had all the sex with these three people. It was great. They all had sex with each other.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, guys, we've had so much sex. Why are you complaining? We can, like, go have LA sex. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
We can, like, they all have sex over there. We can totally...
That's what I've heard. That's what I've heard about LA. They all have sex over there.
So we should be celebrating it by, like, having more sex tonight and not, like, mourning this.
And she wins them over.
And Jughead's like, you know, if I had to live through high school twice, I'm glad it was with you, three yahoos.
Aw, that's sweet. And as they reconcile, as they realize that this is what life is, it's about supporting people as they move on to their next chapter.
And having lots of travel sets.
Sure, sure. There's a snatch of score that I swear is from season one. This is recognizable, like, early show music.
And Archie's like, hey, should we take one last ride together? We can ride the old jalopy to Cheryl's after party.
And they basically repeat the graduation episode joyride.
Yeah.
But without the joy. Like, okay, it's not dour, but it's not, it doesn't have the exuberance.
It's solemn. Yes. It's a bit solemn.
It's happily solemn.
Yeah, as they like drive through the woods.
Hell of a bridge, though. I love that bridge.
Yeah.
Great aerial photography there.
They get to the Blossoms.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone else has gone in except Betty. And mystical Jughead is there. And Betty's like, I can't go in. Like, it's the last time we're going to be together. And I don't want to say goodbye.
There's a bit of her physicality in Lily Reinhart's performance here that I adore. That really sells this as an older Betty come back to teenage body.
Mm-hmm.
In that she shakes her head like Alice does.
Mm.
She's become a little bit of her mother in age and is holding that in this dream quest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she's having this moment. Mystical Jughead is like, that's life, Betty. You say hello, you walk alongside someone for a while, and you say goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the arc of a life. Go, basically, like, go be with your friends. This is it. This is the last moment. And so she goes in, and Arch reads a poem to everyone that he wrote.
Yeah.
Did you write down the poem?
I did.
This poem, he goes person by person.
Yeah, and
mentions, wait. So as it starts, he's like, this is an ode to my best friends and everything they meant. And no, I won't be mentioning the epic highs and lows of football.
Yeah.
And then he starts going person by person, commenting on them, and like a throwback.
He's basically roasting all of them.
Yes.
But still doing his storybook rhyme schemes that drive me up a wall whenever Archie reads his poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And so just, and he goes through the highlights of the weird shit. A lot of which are things we specifically yelled about them not including in the previous episode.
Yes.
So yeah, epic highs and lows. The serial killer gene comes out.
Yes.
Veronica as human dialysis machine.
Kevin selling his, being in a cult and losing his, like, kidney. And also being in the woods.
Cruising the woods, yeah. Julian locked in the cellar.
Reggie, you got that other Reggie, and I'm not sure you're, like, this Reggie.
Mr. Chipping diving out the window to his death. There is no couplet for Midge Clump because nothing rhymes with murdered horribly in public.
And it's just, like, stupid shit, like, calling out, like, you know, Tony, I'm not sure whoever named Southside Serpents knows how to write. Or it should be one word.
Tony never did the weird shit.
No.
She did eat Cheryl's family, but that's more of a Cheryl thing.
True.
That one doesn't come up. The cannibalism does not come up.
Cannibalism does not come up. We don't get into all the murders. Mm-hmm, we get into some of the goofy shit, though. And it's dumb because it's an Archie poem, but also, like, endearing at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. It again speaks to the point, like, if we're treating this as their real lives that they're moving forward from as they go on to the fates that Betty is remembering and being reminded of, they've lived such full lives in their other lives.
Yeah.
That they're now living under the shadow and memory of.
Yes.
Also, this means that Archie thinks of all of these as the happy ones. This is so fucked up. You wrote that episode. It's so fucked up.
And so he ends with, like, you know, I'm so happy I can call y'all my best friends forever and ever. And it's very like, oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Clap, 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 clap. And then,
it's Archie time.
Betty goes, Archie finds Betty in another part of the house.
Yeah.
And, he was like, oh, you're not, like, going away without saying goodbye, right? And she's like, well, tonight, you know, wasn't goodbye. We'll see each other again. And Archie's like, maybe we'll even end up together. And she's like, no. We won't.
They've all got a real habit of drifting apart after high school. They're two for two.
Yeah.
You know?
And she's like, you know, it's a lovely sentiment, but it's not what happened. She's already talked to Jughead, apparently. And she's like,
I don't think she talked to Jughead. No? I think
she just knows.
This is the one she'll never forget.
Oh, that's good.
It's Archie. She'll never forget Archie.
She'll always know.
She'll forget the threesomes and more, but not Archie himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She tells him, you know, you make it to California and you don't look back. He finds a girl, he settles down, he has a family, he works construction and writes and is just happy.
They're seriously treating California like the undying lands of Middle Earth.
Yes.
They
go to California, you don't come back.
You sail to the west, I mean, and you live there in eternal peace.
It's not that wrong, though, because when was the last time we saw Dana or Katie Rose? Just to throw it out there.
Because if we go, we'll see the ocean and we'll never come back.
We have to take Moki with us.
Yeah.
And she's also like, tells him that when he dies, he's buried in Riverdale next to his father like he wanted. Mm-hmm. So no, we're not going to end up together. And they smooch.
This means it's possible he wound up with Veronica.
Technically, yes.
Same state, at the very least. I don't know.
Or Ethel.
Or Ethel. Get the fuck out of here, Ben Button. You're not a real guy.
So Betty goes outside to Jughead.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, there's one last person I want to visit before we have to leave. But I need to get some flowers first.
Mm-hmm. And I was expecting... The next shot shows them walking side by side. She's in her poodle skirt going between the gravestones for this one last visit. And I was fully expecting Fred Andrews. I was expecting them to just, like, fudge the fiction a little bit to do one last tribute to the memory of actual Luke Perry. And I would have been devastated.
Instead, it's Pop Tate. Instead, and I was Pop fucking Tate. Devastated. I started fucking bawling.
So in...
I was having to fight to ugly cry.
In the gap year of between junior and senior year, Pop Tate did pass, and he was laid to rest underneath a logo headstone. It has the neon sign carved into it.
Where else would he want to be? That's his place. Yeah. I'm surprised, honestly, he's not buried, like, under the actual thing. Where everyone can come see him every time. Mm-hmm.
It gets a bit goopy when you pour one out for the homies and the one is a chocolate milkshake. It starts to smell.
I don't know why this moment got me so much.
It's because Pop Tate really is, in his quietness, the soul of Riverdale.
Yeah.
It's because Pop's Chocolate Shop is the only place where good things are allowed to happen in Riverdale.
Yeah.
Whenever they want to show, it's all right. They're in a good place. This is joy. This is happiness. This is what it's all about. It's in Pop's Chocolate Shop.
Yeah.
And he's there.
Well, and I guess it also has to do with, like, everyone else we're talking about what's going to happen to them, but this has happened.
Yeah.
In the story.
Yeah. They still have all these lives. Even Fangs has 4 weeks of a wild adventure before tragedy strikes.
And, like, there's something about it, too, even though, like, this is mystical Jughead and this is, like, future Betty. Mm-hmm. Standing at the grave of Pop Tate. Heart-wrenching. Like,
And, like, it really ties together the character and the show as a whole. They go together.
Yeah.
It's the end for them both.
Yeah. Betty turns to Jughead and she's like, you know, what do you think happens to us when we die? Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, depends on the person, but for a guy like Pop Tate, you know, he's probably still doing what he likes best, flipping burgers and making people smile. Like, that's his eternity.
We already know that Pop's Chocolate Shop is the afterlife.
It is.
This is canon. This is previously established.
Yes.
So this tracks.
And so she's like, oh, you know, Jughead, I read your obituary in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Yours was a life well lived. Like, you know, your magazine became this big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a flash.
Yes, to 70s Jughead. The sideburns.
I love 70s Jughead so much.
We didn't talk about the hair and fashion of 60s Choni, but those were great too.
Those are pretty good, but 70s Jughead.
They're hippie peasant tops.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of fun, but yeah. The hair.
The sideburns.
I think they're drawing specifically on pictures of Stan Lee hitting the college circuit in the 70s with his ridiculous wig and sideburns.
Yeah. And so they talk a bit about, you know, how 70 years later, people still love it. Doing all this stuff, and he's like, well, what about you, though?
He deflects a bit, talking about how, you know, it's mostly, like, kids and nostalgic people talking about Archie comics. Without talking about Archie comics, I get it, I know what you're doing, but, like, if it's helped people, if it's you know, we're sharing stories and bringing smiles, and hey, you know what, I'll take it. I could have left a worse legacy for the world.
And so then they switch and they talk about Betty's life and how she wrote The Teenage Mystique and then an advice column called Betty's Diary.
Uh-huh. Of course, a long-running type of Betty story in Archie comics.
Mm-hmm. And then she did freelancing in New York. And they talk about how there was so much to be angry about back then, but like there still is. It's the same fights.
And she founded a magazine. She Says Magazine, the feminist voice of publishing.
Yes. And we get a little flash to her in 70s Betty gear.
Yes. Very, very professional put together, whereas Jughead was sort of like in the publishing bullpen.
Yeah, but very 70s.
But very 70s, yeah. The hair designer was having a hell of a time. I love Betty's look in this like 5 second scene.
And so he asks her, like, you know, do you have any regrets about not getting married? And she doesn't, but she's so happy she adopted her daughter, Carla. And she loved being a mother and a grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to her, is her true legacy, is her family.
This is a wildly successful class of seniors from small town nowhere. There's like, what, 18 people graduating and... Two of them become, like, national publishing sensations. One has a top 10 chart-topping hit before graduation, even. Did Dylan win a Nobel Prize out there?
You have to remember there's a whole lot of other kids. We don't know. We don't know.
One of them went to the Lakers. Like,
Weatherby had so much to brag about.
Seriously. That man should be president. Look what he did. Look what he did in one year.
In a year.
His first seniors.
And so, continuing this talk, though, between Betty and Jughead, and she's, you know, turns to him, like, you know, what about you in regards to, like, not getting married or just, like, any regrets?
Right.
And he just says, sometimes, and there's definitely a little glimmer in his eye as he grabs her hand, because the time is almost up.
He can always just think about the 90 years he spent with Tabitha in a time bubble. It's basically the same thing.
Yeah. It's been, this season, there's been so little time with Jughead and others.
Yes.
And
yes.
Especially Jughead with Betty.
Mm-hmm.
Until recently.
When it was such the core of the show for years.
That there's something just very lovely about them having time together,
even if
it's not like them.
The whole high school run was, from an angle, the Bughead show.
Mm-hmm.
Their ups and downs, their collaborative investigations, their, yeah.
Yeah. So Betty says, you know, I know it's impossible, but I wish I could stay here forever, you know, with all of our friends. Like, I know it's not possible. And he's like, no, it's not. In fact, we got to get you back. We got to go. And she's like, I know, I'm ready.
So it's drive day. Grandma Betty is in the back of the old station wagon, which is interesting. It's interesting because, like, the wood-paneled, like, National Lampoon's Vacation-ass station wagon is such a thing out of time in the way so much of Riverdale design is. But they've never really drawn from that era of, like, the mid-80s before.
But I guess it would make sense in regards to what this was Betty's car.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
This was Betty's car as an adult.
It's the car
she still has, you know.
It's the car she moved into her granddaughter's house
in. Yeah. Like, and so it's the car they have to drive around.
Real roomy back seat for grandma and all her pillows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they pass into Riverdale, and they pass the Riverdale Welcome to the Town with Pep sign, and we get a voiceover of Betty saying goodbye to everything.
And it starts with Grandma Betty and then crossfades into Lily Reinhart's voice for, you know, 80% of it is her. And it's like reading Goodnight Moon, but it doesn't rhyme.
Yeah. And while this is happening, it's a montage of, you know, them driving past places, but also the inside of places, and it's all the sets from the show.
It's everywhere.
But everything's abandoned. Everything's closed up. Everything's as it was left.
Season 5 was real rough on this place without our hero teens in the present future.
Well, in Riverdale, as it is now, is an abandoned town.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks, no one lives there. Absolutely every place is abandoned.
That last senior class was apparently...
Everyone else was like, we can't top that.
Yeah, we're moving. We gotta go. I heard about California. Apparently it exists, and it's like a roach motel. You don't check out.
And so then, but then towards the end, there's a few flashes that are thrown in of like, them around the fire pit.
Yeah, yeah.
We have a shot of where the car is pulling in front of the abandoned Pops. She says, goodbye, Riverdale. Her granddaughter looks behind and is like, hey, Grandma Betty, we're here. She's like, oh, she's asleep. And her boyfriend is like,
your grandma's not asleep.
She's not. And Betty died.
Betty dies. Betty dies at Pop's Chocolate Shop like so many before her.
It's the only place, too. And then we're still at Pop's. But it's now night.
It's suddenly
a different car.
Neon night,
and
yes.
And young Betty, with her ponytail, her season one ponytail.
Iconic.
Her iconic ponytail gets out of the car.
And she's greeted by the doorman of death.
Jason Blossom!
Jason Blossom!
Opens the door for her in a Pops uniform.
Bookending the show. You have to bring him back. He does not say a word, as is tradition.
Yes.
And so she starts giving out big hugs in Burger Heaven.
Because everyone is there. Pop is there. Reggie's there. Jason's there.
Everything is milkshakes and doo-wop.
Cheryl and Tony are there doing an Archie comics puzzle.
Yeah, it looks like some archival art from the early 90s.
Yeah, it's definitely 90s art.
Yeah.
I think that's a puzzle you can actually buy.
I'm sure.
And eventually she makes her way to the booth, sitting next to Veronica, across from Archie and Jughead.
And they've been waiting for her, of course.
They have a milkshake for her. We cut to Jughead, mystical Jughead who's outside.
And I am just thinking about what it means for the show, this season in particular, to be about, like, driving these kids to improve the world, to make a world better than the one they grew up in. So many of their stories are about them handing it off to future generations with their kids and their grandkids and, like, fighting the good fight against racism and bigotry and all the evils of the world. And their reward for that is to go back to the past before they had the power to change it.
Yes.
They get to be in the idealized world that they erased and built something better in its place.
Yes.
It feels very confused. It's very have your cake and eat it too. And I don't know what to do with it. I don't know what it's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to keep talking about that or finish out the episode?
No, that's really all I have.
Okay, because I have... Well, I was going to say a comment, but I'll save it for the end.
Okay.
So, go to Jughead outside.
Right.
And he... It's like a voiceover, but not, because we see him.
He's just talking to us.
And he's like, we'll leave it... We'll leave them here.
Forever juniors. Forever 17.
You know, getting their burgers and shakes, talking about school, homework, who's dating who... The moments that make up life, and
even as a psychopomp, Jughead must stand apart.
Yes.
However, there is a second Jughead on the inside, so I'll give them a pass for once.
Yes. And he talks about, you know, if you happen to see a neon sign while you're out there on your long journey, go ahead and stop in and die and hang with the ghosts, I guess.
He says, just pull over and take a seat. Which you can't do because this diner is part of a backlot for rent that is just north of the border near Vancouver.
I'm going more with it's haunted by a lot of fucking ghosts. And is he telling me to go die and hang out in the ghost diner? I don't know if this was supposed to be a metaphor for, like, the bright shiny light is the bright neon sign of the burger joint. I am not sure.
I think what he's trying to say, I think he's trying to resolve the tension I was talking about a moment ago. That there is a place for everyone in Americana. You can make it the world you want it to be, even with the symbology of the regressive pre-integration Red Scare 50s. You can take that out of there and still have jukeboxes and hubcaps and friends for life over a milkshake.
Okay.
I think?
I don't know. I'm going with, like, walk into the light and go into the diner. Because he said, we're all heading there. And I'm like, are you talking about death, Jughead?
He's not wrong.
He's not, like... But anyways, he's like, it's okay. You'll have friends there. It's home. Have a good night. And he walks away. And that is the end of Riverdale. Jughead might have just told me to die. And you know what? I wouldn't want it any other way.
Darling, what did you think about chapter 137, Goodbye Riverdale?
I mean, I don't know what I expected.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying not to have expectations. I was trying not to have, like, this is what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this was quite what I thought they were going to do in any stretch.
I think it shows the struggle with, like, how do you make an ending? How do you... It's 7 years. It's 137 episodes. It's an epic of teen melodrama. Mm-hmm. What do you do? Especially when a little over halfway through they already had the perfect ending.
Yeah.
And I think you see that in this finale trilogy, essentially, is three different cracks at it.
Yeah. Okay, there's things I like in this episode. Mm-hmm. There's things I do really like. Again, like, I like that Jughead and Betty get time together.
Yes.
I like, that just feels like old Riverdale, you know? It's those moments. Mm-hmm. I do like that they spent time on, like, everyone for the most part. Yes. I mean, we skipped, like, Dilton. But
Dylan also drove to California. We don't talk about it.
Well, his stuff's top secret. We can't know what he did in the future. It was
Dylan perfected the P-bomb.
But like, cause I was either like, I either don't want to know the future of anyone or I need it for everyone. You can't just tell me like three characters. You know,
they went pretty far down the depth chart when you get to, oh yeah, Frank got shot in the back.
I kind of like that Frank and Sheriff Keller were still hanging out years later, tough to get murdered together. though I think they could have reacted bigger to Chick because they remember the Betty does remember the bad, so she would remember Chick.
She remembers she had extra brothers in her other life.
Okay, so you were talking about like the reward.
Yeah.
And what I'm thinking love is their whole thing is like, you're going to better the future. You're going to save the like world. You're improving, you're fighting racism. It's all going to be better for everyone. And like, we also know like, okay, the car dealership still exists, I guess, in Riverdale, but the rest of the town is fucking abandoned.
Yes. Yes.
Who
are they selling these cars to?
How is this better? How is the world better? I understand, like, I guess that, why that choice was made, but also I'm like, if it's supposed to be better, shouldn't we be seeing the new version of Riverdale? Like, everything has a different coat of paint. It's lightly owned. It's not Pop's Chocolate Shop. It's like,
it's Tabitha's.
It's Tabitha.
Tabitha Tate's. Yeah.
Or not, it can't be Tabitha because Tabitha's not there. But like,
Tabitha had decades to come back home.
Actually, so we don't
know. Tabitha Jr.
Yeah, but something, you know, like everything kind of rebranded. The school, like, let's have kids walking the halls of Riverdale High in 2017 outfits.
I was nearly to the end. I was understanding this as a metaphorical version. Riverdale the show has ended, so let's put Riverdale the town, the collection of sets, to bed. And then, yeah, they get to Pops in slightly different colors.
Yeah.
With weeds coming out of the parking area. Like, no, this is real in the fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, if they were talking, like, if it was going that way metaphorically of, like, these are all the sets, the lights are off, we're close, like, okay. But that Pops hits so wrong that it's not living on.
It's only living on among the dance of the among the dance macabre.
And I think there could be have been this like honestly kind of wonderful thing of like, here's where it is living, like it's still there, here's present day, but then here's the world that they're living in within it, you know, the memories kept alive,
right,
of what it used to be, but what it now is continues, right? So I thought that was a really weird choice for, like, we've gone through all this shit to save the world. And Riverdale's just abandoned?
Well, if you told me one season ago that the way to save the world is to abandon the town of Riverdale, I'd be like, yes, perfect, brilliant. This place is a sinful blight in the heart of America. And if we just pave it over and leave it, maybe that's how we fix things.
A year ago, But right now, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
So it's very weird because, again, like, I had a very emotional reaction to Pop. And so, but at the same time, I'm like, what are we doing here?
And I guess that's part of the trouble with how do you end this show as a whole, because for a great deal of it, the town of Riverdale is a hellmouth full of idiots.
Yeah.
And how do you reconcile that with, yes, this new story of people who've had a lifetime of growth that they don't understand because of time magic, then doing a lifetime of good, positive service?
Well, and I think I said this a while ago, that I thought a good ending would have been just a normal day for them.
Yes.
And literally it ending with them driving off.
Yes.
In the jalopy together. Mm-hmm. So if this episode would have been focused on, like, we could have done the time jump and we could have been, here we're getting our yearbooks. It's the last day. It's everyone getting ready for what's next. Without necessarily telling me everyone's story. Just everyone's excited about what's to come, right?
Mm-hmm.
And revisiting with everyone, whatever. And then you end the episode with, hey, let's go for a ride in my jalopy to Pops. And they all get in and they take off. And the sun's going down. They're riding off in the jalopy. They're going to Pops. The end.
You have remade the first graduation episode.
Yes.
Which is a perfect episode of television.
Perfect, perfect episode. And I would have... I did not need to know what happened to anyone.
Yeah.
I just needed them all to be happy. And them being kids. Like, okay, what I would have needed was, yes, to see Midge is there.
Mm-hmm.
Midge got out. Midge and Fangs are together. We got a postcard from Ethel. Polly's hanging out with Mom. Like, give me all those flashes.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just have an episode where we're living our life.
It ends like that in a way. The final ending is they get to be in high school together forever.
Yeah.
What if you just cut the story before they get out of high school? That's the same thing. That's the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it could have even ended with them riding the jalopy and then them cutting to just walking into Pops.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Everyone's there. They walk into Pops. And you know what? You could have had freaking Jason there, and I just would have let it be. I would have questioned it, but I would have let it be. I was like, oh my god. I will say I do understand now why Joaquin's not there. It's because
he's in hell.
Well, no. It's because Kevin doesn't have, like, any memories.
Who is this? I don't know him.
Yeah. Yeah. Kevin remembers nothing, because nothing good ever happened to him. Joaquin was good, but then he died, so we're not going to remember that, because it's too sad.
It's too sad. We don't have to do predictions.
We don't have to do predictions!
Done!
Oh my god. It's just so... 7 years.
7 years.
We 7 years!
But I guess the next segment, then, is talk about what's coming next. The next episode we're talking about is...
Because we're not done. We got one more episode for you guys.
One is right. Chapter one, The River's Edge.
We are going to take it back to the beginning.
The River's Edge is named for a 1957 noir film about a crime that goes wrong and people die and there's a whole lot of money. And that follows with the trailer we watched talking about the premiere on January 26, 2017.
Which we're going to talk about that in just a second. So yes, we are coming back with one more episode after this. We are going to watch the premiere. The premiere that we have watched since then, but we definitely have not watched in at least 5 years.
It's been quite
maybe
some time.
Maybe 6 years. Like, I don't think I've watched it since season one ended. So... we're going to see what that's like. And to prepare for that, we did watch the trailer. And oh my god, it's so dramatic and serious.
Everyone's given smoldering looks. We see bloody palms. Someone's crying at a river with a white lace gown clinging to her body. There's this older temptress making eyes at who I assume is Archie. Someone goes to a party and everyone looks at the camera like it's a party where everyone hates you, which... really sets me on edge. There's a big sack of cash. Everyone's so moody. They remind you that this channel made the Vampire Diaries. That's very important in this trailer.
Everything is tinted to Twilight color.
Yeah!
It's all that cool blue tint. But seriously, it is so fucking dramatic. It is just one. It just oozes drama and seriousness.
Archie lifts his shirt to show the abs as he wipes his face, and those are the abs of a killer, Betty.
It kills me how serious it is because of what it fucking becomes. And so we are going to watch that and also come back with just kind of a little walk down memory lane for ourselves.
Right, right. Like we've been saying, talking about our upcoming finale, we want it to be separate for some practical and some emotional reasons from the Riverdale finale.
Yeah.
That's the plan.
So come back one more time for us to wrap this up.
One last bonus episode.
Yeah. It's almost over. Mm-hmm. It's like over, but almost over.
It did feel nice to like watch the trailer and talk about an old movie they named an episode for. Because we didn't get to do those with the first few.
No, we didn't. We didn't. We didn't like pick that out yet.
Mm-hmm.
Things develop. Things right. change.
Right.
It's been a ride mm-hmm. in a jalopy. So.
I gotta do it. I gotta tell you to tell a friend about this show.
I mean, yeah, now it's like, we're basically done. It's perfect time to, like, binge listen.
Absolutely. We're going to be putting out the full series anniversary box set.
Also, like, please tell your friends they don't have to watch the show. Somehow one of my friends of my, like, adult life did not realize it was not required that she watched the show to listen to this show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't hurt. It's a lot of, it's fun to watch.
It doesn't hurt, but
if if it wasn't fun to watch, we wouldn't have done it the whole time.
It's not a requirement, obviously.
No, no. Sometimes we do, like, tumble over our words and say Betty when we mean Veronica or something like that, but, like, you get it. It's fine.
You figure it out.
But yeah, tell a friend about the show, because, you know, we deserve it, goddammit. There have been...
You know what you also can do? You can leave us a rating
You can leave
review.
Us a rating and review.
We so seriously, deserve that.
Seriously.
There Seven have been, years.
There have been times, going back to something I said at the very top of the episode, there have been times where I have just locked eyes with the imaginary Roberto that lives in my head.
And not at all creepy.
And said, "You will not defeat me. I will, I will chase you. I will follow you to the end." And I feel like that dedication, that bulldog dedication.
Oh, the bulldogs! Go bulldogs! Go bulldogs!
That deserves some stars. That deserves some stars.
Give some stars.
Give me some stars.
You can also find us on Twitter at @sex_Archie.
Zero stars.
It's zero stars. Twitter sucks. But you'll find us there. So if you want to stay in touch.
Much like Riverdale, it sucks, but you'll find us there.
You'll find us there.
Who are they selling these cars to? What happened to Mantle Motors?
And through there, you can find our other social medias to keep in touch with us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And future projects.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Have we named the future project on the show?
I thought we did.
I thought we
snuck it into an episode once.
There have been hints. There have been sneaky things. I even mentioned Alien Nation this week as something important to what's coming next. But I don't think we've done a formal announcement. That's something else we might save.
Might save.
For the Sex Archie finale.
Hint to all of our History Honeys listeners. History Honeys coming back. It's not. I'm sorry.
But if you liked all the boat stuff.
It's kind of history. It's old. We're going to talk about something old.
Old and wet.
Old and wet.
Like Betty Cooper.
So we'll be back one more time.
Please
come back and join us. But with that, I'm Elena.
I'm Grant. And from us here at Sex Archie.
Riverdale will always be there.
I feel it.
Yeah, I know. He is dressed, though, in, like, modern day... Shut up, you assholes.